About the Matrix, capturing, and the fact that he was released on the same day that
Allah,
the Matrix
yeah.
was released. So Satan is real, Jinn are real, Dajjal is real, and Jinn are actively working to undermine humanity. The Quran is very clear about that. You know, there is preparation for the Dajjal happening. And you know what the biggest problem is?
How would you translate the Matrix, the satanic forces?
I would say a global satanic force. And here's the issue.
Satanic force.
This is the problem, and I'm glad we're talking about this on the Dean Show right now. We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
I love you very much. I want to work continuing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show, the Deen Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the Dean Show, I'm your host. We got a lot to talk about. Last time I saw you, we were in Florida.
Yes, sir.
Chicago now, alhamdulillah.
We were in my office, now we're in yours.
Yes, yeah, Hassan Shibli, from Shibli and Shibli's.
Habibi, alhamdulillah. Muslimlegal.org.
Muslimlegal.org, yeah. How you doing? How you been?
Well, blessed and grateful, alhamdulillah. It's a beautiful month of Ramadan, and just grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His countless blessings upon us, alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We made it here to Ramadan, and there's so much to talk about. We got the Trump situation happening. We got, last time we spoke, we were talking about Andrew Tate.
Yes, sir.
And now we got to have this emergency meeting also. He's been released, but not officially. He's released from the jail.
Right.
But he's still in house arrest.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to play this video. I want to play this video and get your reaction to that. Before we jump into Trump and before we jump into some of the other things we're going to talk about. How's that?
Sounds great.
So this is a Romanian lawyer who's talking about now, bringing us up to speed on what actually is happening. And this is an interesting point because you would think that he's already spent 4 months in jail, and I think they can only hold for 180 days. And you would think, okay, that was counted as that. But as this lawyer is going to go ahead and reveal, it's not quite the case. Mm.
The law states very clearly that even though the house arrest is a form of arrest on itself, the total number of days that they can be kept under house arrest, it's equals 180 days. And here's the thing. It does not count to the maximum number of days that they can be kept under arrest during the investigation phase. That being said, based on the Romanian law, from this moment, they can still keep them under house arrest for the next 180 days, which is crazy if you think about it. So now comes the question. Is this a move made by the prosecutor in order to keep them detained for a longer period of time? Because just think about it for a second.
Now, that's your profession. For those who haven't seen you on the show before, you're an attorney of going on, what is it?
About 12 years.
You're an attorney of 12 years. You've handled many cases, even international cases, right? You talked about that in the last episode. Now, what are your feelings on this now?
Again, the principles of justice are something that people literally sacrifice their blood for. You know, to stand up against tyranny, persecution, and injustice. And one of the essential principles is the presumption of innocence, and that the government, the state, shall not have the power to impede on people's liberty absent the adequate cause, absent evidence, and absent due process of law. And, you know, it's really insane. Their system of law allows the government to restrict people's freedom and liberty without pressing charges. Almost as if they want to capture someone and then fully investigate their life to find a reason to charge them and to imprison them. And that seems to be what's happening with the Tates. Not long after Andrew Tate publicly announced his conversion to Islam, we find that he's being arrested without any charges, now held for months on end, and now released into house arrest. What was inspiring, though, was upon seeing his release, when he said, when he was asked, what are you going to do when you're back home? And he said, listen, when I was in a prison cell, I was doing push-ups and reading my Quran, and when I go home, I'm going to be doing push-ups and reading my Quran.
Okay, I want you to pay attention here. As soon as he gets out, this is interesting. You know, if you'd read somebody's body language, what do you see him doing here? He gets out and he's
looking at the heavens, and it looks like it's a dark night, so there's nothing physically to see there. You know, but it's almost an ode, a moment of appreciation to the Most High.
Like, we're guessing here, obviously, but obviously the one who's up above, is the creator of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty Allah. So I would say maybe Tate's looking up and say, look, I'm going to keep my oath now to you.
Exactly.
I'm ready to serve you,
we hear that from those that
are
in touch with him. I mean, you know, like Brother Tam Khan, who's been standing with Brother Andrew from the beginning.
Yes.
And just spoke with him after his release and just, you know, talked about the positive transformations he saw. Because these trials and tribulations can make you or break you. I mean, it's very easy. And we know people who go through tribulations. And when they're going through the tribulations, they give up on their faith. It's very easy for someone in his situation to say, you know, I just became Muslim and now I'm in jail. Where's God's help? And they turn away from the faith. But that's not what a true believer does. A true believer, when they are facing tribulation, they recognize that as human beings, our elevation is through our tribulation, that God puts us in these situations to purify us, to refine us, to elevate us, to train us, to teach us, to help us abandon our attachment to this material world, to help us focus on Him and reestablish our connection with Him. So we actually see it as a blessing. And that's the difference between believers and hypocrites, is believers actually recognize that the trials and tribulations of life are opportunities for us to get closer to Allah. Because the trials and tribulations of life are opportunities for us to do acts of worship that the angels can't do, which is to have sacrifice for Allah, to have patience for Allah, to show our pure trust in Allah. Angels can't do that because they're not tested like we're tested. So through our trials and tribulations, we can get closer to Allah than even the angels. And I think it does speak volumes to see how He reacted to that. Because there are people who, when they face lesser tribulation, give up hope and faith. I mean, me as a lawyer, I deal with Muslims often going through business disputes or divorces. I was speaking with a brother and he said, listen, going through my divorce, I gave up my prayer. I said, my brother, you're giving up your prayer is a much greater loss than you losing your family. That's, you've lost everything when you lose
that.
And you have to come back. Don't let shaitan defeat you. Don't give up into hopelessness. So these tribulations can make us or break us.
That shows a lot right now, what you're just saying. Like, he didn't give up.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's easy. Again, imagine somebody just becoming Muslim and then seeing the full force of a state government coming against him.
And then getting into the why me?
Exactly.
Why is this happening? I just accepted it's not. Why is this happening?
So many people do that and they lose their faith. But again, Allah promises that He will test us. And we need to take that as an example. Look, I don't care if you agree or disagree with Him or love Him or hate Him. The fact is, you have to ask yourself, when you face a tribulation in your life, do you use that to draw closer to Allah or turn away? If you turn away, then you weren't worshiping Allah, you're worshiping the dunya. And when you lose the dunya, then you get fall into hopelessness. But if you're worshiping the Lord of the dunya, you know it comes and goes, and you know its whole purpose is to test us. Mm-hmm. This is the abode of tribulation. You know, I'm reminded of a beautiful saying by Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullahi alayhi. He said that when Satan saw Adam alayhi salam descend from the heavens to the earth, he rejoiced. He was happy because of his jealousy. That's what destroys people, jealousy and arrogance, the satanic qualities. SubhanAllah, how many times Muslims fall into arrogance and jealousy, forgetting those were the diseases of Iblis. Anyway, he rejoiced. But what Ibn al-Qayyim says is he didn't recognize, Satan didn't know that when the diver descends to the bottom of the ocean, only then can he get the rare pearls that have value.
Wow.
Likewise, when Allah allowed us to descend in this dunya, it was so we can get the pearls that are only found in this dunya. What are those pearls? It is faith in Allah when we don't see Him. It is patience in the face of hardship. It is steadfastness. It is fasting, sacrificing, right? Going through thirst and fatigue for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is steadfastness through tribulation, gratitude, and putting trust in Him. These are unique acts of worship that only we can do in this dunya, that even the angels can't do, that allow us to get closer to Allah than even the angels. So when we look at the example of Andrew Tate, somebody who, again, it's very clear he used to live a very sinful life. Nobody's denying that, right? And he may have said some problematic things and some things which may have been taken out of context. But regardless, despite all of that, when he faced a tribulation as a fresh Muslim, he stuck by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He stuck by his gratitude to Allah. What excuse do we, especially those of us that have been born Muslim, have to turn away from Allah when we face some hardship? We need to take a lesson. This is a lesson for all humanity. Because Allah showed the world that the most popular man, the most searched man, became Muslim, then was thrown in jail, and still remained grateful to Him. What excuse do we have?
Yeah, let's get into that.
When I was in jail, I focused on doing push-ups and reading the Quran. And when I am home, I will focus on doing push-ups and reading the Quran.
Now, he didn't have to do that. I mean, he's just now, he's not totally free yet. He's free on house arrest, but
right,
he's still coming out. You know, he can be very nervous and really shy about, or scared,
yeah,
practically, not to even mention the Quran.
I think this is clear proof against anyone who, may Allah purify our hearts, want to claim that his connection to Islam is about any material gain. there was nothing material to be gained by him announcing his Islam, and then frankly getting attacked from many members of the Muslim community, and then facing jail time. You know, yet when he was released, even on house arrest, the first words out of his mouth, push-ups and Quran, which is, I think, what it's all about, right? Allah loves the strong believer more than the weak believer. Let us be kings in this dunya and the akhir. Let us be the strongest we can be in this life and use our success in this life to be successful in the next life. And that's one of the beautiful things I actually saw when I was hanging out with some of the brothers who know Tate or are friends with Tate. Alhamdulillah, I was just in Saudi Arabia. We were with Mike Tyson. We were with Badu Jack, Devin Haney, some other, mashallah, incredible champions in this dunya. But what I loved about them is you would see that before their victory and after their victory, they kept praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They put Allah first. I was with Brother Badu when he won. He's the first person to win championships at the three belts that he won. First person in history. And he's the oldest person to win the most recent championship belt that he won, subhanAllah. And the first Muslim to win that belt in Saudi Arabia. The first thing he did, you know, we went back into the room after his championship. He bowed down.
Badu Jack,
and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were in the room before he went out, and we were making dua together. You know, then the next thing, subhanAllah, no partying, no alcohol, no woman, no after. It was the after party was us going to the lobby where Brother Napper, you can see the video, a well-known fitness expert, mashallah, very muscular, strong brother, sat with us, and Badu had been giving him dawah. And he took his shahada. And actually on that trip, about three or four brothers, mashallah, who are excelling in the physical sports fields, mashallah, ended up embracing Islam through the efforts of our brother Badu. It was a beautiful thing to see. And then one of the organizers of that fight, you know, and again, alhamdulillah, it's just beautiful to see this. People don't know this because he wasn't public about it. Right after the fight, donated $41,000 to build a Quran school in Africa, subhanAllah, and to take care of orphans. So it's a beautiful thing to see the khair that can come out of people who keep Allah first. Again, no one is perfect. I think it's easy for shaitan to get us to focus on people's mistakes, shortcomings, or things that they're doing that are wrong. And frankly, every human being does things that they shouldn't be doing. But as believers, I think we need to focus on the positive and amplify that. And I saw that over there. And I think we need to strive to be strong in this life and the next. And it's great to have examples of that, mashallah.
It was nice seeing Mike Tyson. This was his like second Umrah trip
serious about the Umrah trip, very serious. And you know, may Allah give us ikhlas. I know there's difference of opinion on it. Even I worry about my intention. That's why we need to do our own personal istighfar and dua. But you know, I wanted the world to see this because I think it's very powerful to see one of the most famous boxers, you know, bowing himself before the Lord of the heavens and the earth, being a proud Muslim. I think there's benefit. I think the youth need to see that. So of course we documented it on social media. We took videos, we took pictures. But I tell you, Mike was not having it. I mean, he was very frustrated with that. SubhanAllah, he went in without a phone in his hand. He wanted to worship, focus on Allah the whole time.
So Mike Tyson was frustrated with...
He was definitely frustrated with the pictures on social media. We got to say it. And actually, I respect that about him tremendously. He did not have a phone with him. He didn't want people taking photos. He literally said, he's like, look, people are giving me attention, but I'm no better than anyone else here. And I think that was a powerful reminder. Again, may Allah forgive us for the extent that we did share on social media. I do think there's a benefit in that, but I really respect Mike's approach on it.
Isn't that the beauty of Hajj now?
That's the beauty of Hajj.
You're coming to Hajj now. It doesn't matter if you're Mike Tyson or if you're a king or...
We're all wearing the same simple white cloth sheets. We're all equal. We all pray together. We're all in the same sections. There's no VIP section. None of that. We're all equal standing before Allah. And it was a beautiful experience.
I'm no person to go ahead and foretell the future, but I can kind of make a prediction. I think I was talking to Andrew Tate about this before. This was like, I think right before he accepted Islam, we were trying to arrange, because he talked about, and I told him this, I said in our correspondence, that since he likes being in the most holiest place of holiest places, right? Because he liked being in Romania, because at that time he was a Muslim, and it was a Christian, Orthodox Christian place, and he liked being, as according to his statements. So I said, why don't we get you over to Mecca? You know, we got some people trying to set up, we can set up for you to go to Hajj. He said, I'll consider it, you know? So obviously...
There's an open invitation to Brother Andrew. So
I think after he gets out... I think after he gets out, I think I can predict him going to one of the first things he'll do, inshallah.
Well, we would love to see that. I think it'd be a beautiful sight to see, and we would love to join him and help guide him on the journey. I know there's a lot of good brothers that would love that. And inshallah, we're in touch with some people from the various Hajj agencies over there, so we'd love to make it happen, inshallah.
Yeah, this would be amazing to see him also when he gets exonerated from all of this, inshallah.
Absolutely.
That he can be there, just like Mike Tyson was with you, inshallah, he can be there. So tell me now, What lessons, what other, this is a lot of lessons can be learned, obviously. This is a big test going on for him right now. You also, you posted something regarding Trump.
Right. So to wrap this up and then jump into the next issue, I think the biggest lesson as I reflect, because this is actually the most I've reflected on this recently, about what Tate being arrested after becoming Muslim and then him coming out and talking about reading the Quran means. And I frankly think that is sufficient of a lesson for humanity, just to show Allah showing the world that, listen, even a person who just became Muslim and lived an openly very sinful life, he didn't give up hope and faith when he went through difficult times, and neither should you.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the takeaway lesson for us that we can take away from
it. It just
right
reminds
now.
Me, since we're talking about this, I had a friend of mine, this is a story that I was part of. I went to visit, this was years ago, someone from Jahiliyyah.
Mm.
So I went to go ahead and give him dawah.
Mm.
And he was in the federal penitentiary.
Mm.
And I went there to see him. And as I'm talking to him, I was real surprised, because this was someone who his parents were Muslim. And then he was like, he pretty much solidified his, he went towards atheism, denying Allah. And I don't believe anybody's truly atheist, but now he went away from the deen even more.
Mm.
You would think he would, because he said, I was making, where's God? Why didn't he get me out of here? So he did the crime, and he was thinking like, hey, I'm just going to make a prayer, and these gates now magically are going to just open,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
So now contrast that with another individual who was in jail. This is a person, a friend of my father's from a long time ago, also someone from Jahiliyyah. My father was giving him dawah, and he was talking, narrating his story, and I connected these two, and I want to get your feedback on this. So you have one scenario here. This person, he goes in jail, he does a crime, instead of now, you know, turning his life around, he makes a prayer, and he's expecting the door just to open. This other person is in the jail now, this another individual. He's praying to God, he's talking about, he's earnestly praying. Next thing you know, he knows he's got to do the time, but he ends up meeting someone from Bosnia who's working in the prison facility, who pretty much is from a town that his father was from, and this person, they get acquainted, so he's bringing him extra food, he's helping him out, so it pretty much helped his stay there. So Allah was helping him in this means. You follow me? So you got two different ways, perspectives you can look at things.
Absolutely.
Same thing with Tate now, being released during Ramadan.
Well, that Allah released in Ramadan, and for those that follow the whole Matrix thing, which is interesting.
Okay, I was going to ask. That's good you brought that up. We'll get to that, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it was interesting for the Matrix fans, because he always talks about the Matrix, which is the idea that we're in this manufactured construct, not necessarily.
What do you think, before you get into the Matrix? This, sure. I want to get into that deeper, but what do you think about these scenarios? Now, you hear this. Now, my prayer is not answered, so there's
this
no God.
This is the point I want to jump in, because I want to contrast that with an example and experience that I had in Florida, right? So you have this example of somebody going through great tribulation and using that to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas you have many people who unfortunately react in the opposite direction. And I saw that in Florida. In Florida, I started keeping in touch with one of the leaders of the biggest anti-Muslim hate groups. And he was a devout Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran one of the most nasty anti-Muslim hate groups. But subhanAllah, when you're a person of honor and you treat others honorably, you know, Allah instills respect in people's hearts.
Yes.
So subhanAllah, he took my number. He was always respectful towards me. He kept in touch, very cordial. And he invited me to visit his home. So I visited him in his house, and he's around 90 years old now. And I was shocked to see 90 years old.
And this is one of the leading
leaders. He was no longer, when I knew him, he was like, when I first met him, he was like 80.
Yeah.
And he was leading one of the biggest anti-Muslim hate groups. Now he's 90.
Leading Islamophobe.
Leading one of the Islamophobe. Leading
Islamophobe. In Florida or in the country?
In Florida. And when I visited him now, you know, after knowing him for about almost 10 years, I was.
But some of them might think, why are you keeping in touch with him? This is Islamophobe.
Because this is our job. Yeah. We're not, you know, Allah didn't send the messengers to Muslims.
Mm.
He sent them to those who disbelieved,
yes,
to those who fought against. And it is our character, through Allah's tawfiq, it's actually Allah, but using good character, that will turn our worst enemies into our best friends. I mean, I had that. I remember attending an anti-Muslim protest against Islamic Relief by, you know, MAGA hat wearers, pro-Trump supporters who were protesting Islam. I went out, spoke to them. We became friends. I got a selfie. We all took it together at the end. And then one of them actually ended up becoming Muslim afterwards.
Wow.
So, and took her shahada at my office. So this is our job. We, you know, I hate this idea when we take, oh, it's, listen, we are oppressed and we shouldn't have to educate our oppressors. like, get out of here with that nonsense. It is our job to proudly stand for our faith and invite all humanity to do it. And wish goodness for them. I mean, these are the creation of Allah. Allah made this person. He made his soul. He made his body. We don't want anyone to go through torment. We don't want anyone to be miserable in the hereafter. We want goodness for all humanity. That is rahmatan lil alamin, a mercy to humanity, to all creation. The Prophet ﷺ wished for guidance for his worst enemies. And this is a miracle, a prophetic miracle, that the same person, you remember when they were doing the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, one of the polytheists at the time was doing a treaty against the Muslims and erased that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah from the treaty. And he's like, if you were a messenger, I wouldn't have fought you. You know, you find just years later, that same person sitting under the Prophet's camel, and the spit of the Prophet's camel is falling on this guy's face because he's sitting right under him, and he's just listening with love to the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Wow. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, through his character, through his mercy, turned his worst enemies into his greatest supporters.
So what happens now? Biggest Islamophobe in Florida.
In Florida.
You're keeping in touch, and what happens?
Well, he was inviting me to his house, and I said, you know what?
This is the story you told me,
right?
Yes,
the story I told you. So I said, let me accept his invitation. Let me go, and I went to his home. And he was so happy to see me. And we're talking, but I was shocked at what I saw. He was no longer, not only he no longer ran the anti-Muslim hate group, he was no longer Christian. Unfortunately, he fell into complete atheism. And I asked him, I said, you know, my friend, you were a Christian for 50 years. And look, you know, at least still you were a person of the book. Like, you know, you believed in Jesus, peace be upon him, although you believe in a corrupted version of his teachings, you know, the pagan Roman beliefs that got mixed in, but you were still a step closer to the truth. How did you end up just completely denying God's existence altogether? And he told me that his wife of 50 years passed away after a severe bout with Alzheimer's, losing her memory, losing her identity, and then passing away. And he said the suffering he saw her go through over the last year or two of her life pushed him into atheism. And I said, subhanallah, that is the definition of kufr, of disbelief, of ingratitude. That instead of thanking Allah for giving you 50 healthy years with this woman, you disbelieved in him because he took her back, as is the natural rule of this life. We're only here as temporary visitors anyway.
Yeah.
So that is ingratitude. Instead of thanking Allah for the 50 years you had, you rejected Allah because he took her soul back. But here's where it got really interesting. He said, you know, you should meet my son. I said, why? I said, he's Muslim.
Now this Islamophobe.
This Islamophobe, leading the biggest anti-Muslim hate group.
He leaves Christianity.
He leaves Christianity, becomes atheist, but his son left Christianity to become Muslim.
Wow.
And subhanAllah, the year he did that, he did really well financially. So Allah tests people different ways. Sometimes you're doing well, you become Muslim, Allah tests you, like Andrew Tate, and you keep your faith. In this case, the brother became Muslim, and Allah actually opened up more doors of risk for him. So I spoke to him, I said, can I meet your son? He said, no. I said, why? He said, you'll corrupt him. You'll make his deen stronger. So, alhamdulillah, what it is, when I left, his son is a lawyer. I looked up his son, and I actually reached out to him. And it happened to be the only day in 2 years he was in town. So we actually went, I turned around, I was going home to Tampa. I turned around, I met him for dinner, and he just had a beautiful story. He himself was a lawyer, and, you know, he had recently gotten divorced, and he was going through, you know, some difficult times. And a client came into his office and said, what are you living for? Like, okay, you're a wealthy, successful lawyer. Is life just about money, alcohol, girls? Like, what are you doing with your life? Come, let me show you the purpose of your life. And subhanAllah, so he actually listened to him, studied under him. He became Muslim. His ex-wife became Muslim. And then they got remarried. Now they've been happily married for 15 years.
So this was a Muslim giving him dawah?
A Muslim giving him dawah fearlessly and courageously.
Wow. I remember you telling me, you were so excited. You shared the story with me. I said, man, this is good. You brought this up. This is an amazing story.
It's a beautiful story.
Biggest Islamophobe in Florida. He ends up, his son accepts Islam.
Exactly. Wow. It's amazing. And look, when you sit with his son, I mean, his son looks as American as apple pie. You know what I'm saying? But he's just a beautiful soul.
Sent me that picture,
yes,
right? Didn't you?
Yes.
I don't know if he wants us to talk
about it. I'll ask. If we get his permission, we'll see if we can share it.
You sent me the picture.
Yeah. I mean, I was just so happy. It was, you know, it was just an amazing thing how I ended up there, how Allah connected us. And it was just a reminder, you know, the truth will reach every household, but it's up to us to put our effort to be used for that, or Allah will replace us with others.
Now, what do you think is happening here? Andrew Tate gets released, and then you have people now connecting the dates. The dates are showing Matrix is released at this date. same date he's released. I mean, are the powers to be on Earth here the ones?
It was quite interesting. I mean, who knows?
Come on, what's
the, I don't know if there's anything as a coincidence. But ultimately, the real power is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. The real power is Allah, and you know
have to make that clear.
Tate, and Andrew Tate has been talking about the Matrix, this idea of a global movement, which frankly I think is consistent with our beliefs. You know, there is preparation for the Dajjal happening, and you know what the biggest problem is.
How would you translate the Matrix, the satanic forces?
I would say a global satanic force. And here's the issue. This is the problem, and I'm glad we're talking about this on the Deen Show right now, because it's something that many Muslims, myself included, often forget. Mm-hmm. That there is active preparation amongst the jinn, amongst the shayateen, for the Dajjal to come to misguide humanity. This is a fact. And there's a hadith that indicate the Dajjal may have been around from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
So,
and there are other forces at play that were alive at the Prophet's time that are waiting to come out. So we cannot forget. And jinn are actively working to undermine humanity. The Quran is very clear about this. You know, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ قَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Allah speaks about the shaitan, him and his people, seeing you from areas they don't see. So Satan is real, jinn are real, Dajjal is real, and they're doing their efforts. So maybe, I'm not saying this is what it is, but I don't believe in coincidence, everything is fate. And I also don't believe in ultimate power of these forces. Like, they have power, but it's very little. You know, Allah is the most powerful.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty Allah talks about they plot and plan.
Allah plots and plans.
Right? So
it could be an ode. I mean, maybe the brother was talking about the Matrix, you know, capturing him, and the fact that he was released on the same day that the Matrix was released. It's just maybe there's truth to it. And again, the issue is this. It's consistent with Islamic theology. Islamic theology absolutely believes there are forces that are working for evil around the world.
The Quran talks about this.
Absolutely.
Over and over. You see Allah.
And they promote immorality, indecency, secularism, atheism, all forms of misguidance, you know, the destruction of the family, the destruction of household.
So if you want to learn about the so-called Matrix, I mean, read
the book of Allah.
Read the book of God Almighty, Allah, the Quran, huh?
That's it.
How can you be protected from the Matrix? Get with Islam.
Get with Islam and have strong
faith.
Like Andrew Tate did. That's it. And this never fall into despair. See, sometimes we use the evil forces, like the conspiracy theory mind, as, oh, everything is against us, and we get into a defeatist mentality. That was how the Sahaba were. I mean, the Sahaba recognized there were active forces against them, whether they were spiritual demonic forces or military forces. But they said, you know what? Allahu Akbar. That's what we cannot forget. Allahu Akbar. And the crisis of many Muslims in our time is forgetting Allahu Akbar. So when we shave our beard, when we remove our hijab, when we hide our Muslim identity, it's because we're thinking there's forces greater than Allah that we have to please or that we're scared of. But if we recognize Allah is greater than all of them, then we will hold strong to our deen, hold strong to our sunnah, and be fearless as proud Muslims. Even myself, growing up as an American Muslim attorney, do you know how many people told me I should shave my beard to be successful, that I have to hide my identity? La ilaha illallah. But rather, when you hold strong to your deen, you will face attacks. Trust me, I face my fair share. Walhamdulillah. But it's only made me stronger. Allah promises that when you're attacked and you stay true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't oppress others, Allah will make your enemies' attacks a means of your elevation. This is His sunnah. So yes, there's evil forces out there and we have to protect against and prepare against, but they got nothing on us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So the Matrix, that's another term now that you can, as we just broke down, that it can be qualified as these satanic evil forces that are out there plotting and planning.
Correct.
Get protected with your creator.
With Tawheed. That God is greater than everything.
Yeah, He's greater than...
And the unity of the Muslim Brotherhood. As long as Muslims stand united, they got nothing on us. And the Prophet, you know, talked to us about this. I mean, he said, your nation will not be destroyed from outside enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be destroyed by famine. It will not be destroyed by illness or COVID or anything like that. But the downfall, if it happens, will happen through internal fighting.
This is, you mentioned brotherhood, that unity between brothers, sisters in Islam, that we come together as a true ummah of the family. This is one thing that many people, they love. They love the discipline. You just had this boxer come into boxing, one of the big time boxing promoters. I don't know if you saw him, Eddie Hearn. He's talking about how he wants to learn more about Islam. Do you know this boxing promoter?
I think I've seen it, and it's just it's happening a lot out there because they're seeing a beautiful brotherhood. The minute you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the minute you declare there's only one God, Muhammad is His messenger, you feel the love. You see, I mean, I remember when they're taking shahada at the university the other day, there were lines long of people hugging him, and it's a sincere, beautiful love that people are lacking nowadays.
Reminds me of the إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا.
إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا.
Are we saying now, if you translate this, and you see the victory and the help of Allah come, run towards His forgiveness,
that's
towards
it.
Mercy? I mean,
that's
when
it.
People
it's
are entering Allah's,
it's happening. And the question is, are we going to be part of it, or are we going to be those that corrupt against from it? Are we going to be those that welcome people into Islam and provide them beautiful examples and support them and elevate them and hold strong to our faith? Or are we going to be those that sell out and change our deen and try to compromise, trying to please others and forgetting Allahu Akbar. May Allah keep us steadfast.
Ameen, ameen. Yeah, so this is a very interesting topic with the matrix, right? These dates coinciding and now. But he's scared now. I don't want to say he's scared. No. He had talked about the next, what would you say, the next thing is for them to try to take him out.
Well, there's three things, right?
They talked about.
The first thing is them trying to cancel you or destroy your reputation.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, I've been there. We know what that's like.
Uh-huh.
You know, it ain't easy, but SubhanAllah, when you stay true to Allah, Allah will make that as a means of greatness for you. Number two is imprisonment. And we've seen that happen a lot. We've seen that happen against leaders within the Muslim community throughout the U.S. for the last two decades. So number two is that. Number three is assassination. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but again, they can plot, and Allah says this in the Quran, I mean, in reference to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, when those who disbelieve plot against you, to exile you, or to imprison you, or to kill you. And they plot, and Allah plots, and Allah is the best of planners. So ultimately, that is a real threat, but and every soul will taste death, but only at our appointed time. The it's not a question of if we will die. We will all die. The question is, will we die on our principles and on our faith, or will we die having sold out?
Mm-hmm. There was another friend of Andrew Tate's. I had him on a program. I interviewed him. He's looking into Islam. What would you say to him? This is, they call him money bags.
Okay, mashallah.
Dylan. So he's really considering Islam. And like many people from the Christian background, now they're stuck on Jesus. What do you like to tell Christians? And now they feel they have this real deep love of Jesus, and now they're stuck in between, right? He's looking at
Islam.
Islam
is the
like
way to love Jesus. Islam is the way to follow Jesus. Jesus was a Muslim. Muslim is one who surrenders to God. He taught Islam. Islam means peace through surrender to God. Jesus was a beautiful, modest, humble man. He never told a soul to worship him. He always told people to worship the God of the heavens and the earth. That was the path of Jesus. That was the path of Moses, of Abraham. Islam is the universal, monotheistic, pure religion. And frankly, if Islam isn't true, there is no true religion. And we know religion is true because the Holy Quran remains the only book that claims to be from God, that was never changed, never corrupted, doesn't have different versions. Every other book we know for a fact has been changed. So the Quran is the only book claiming to be from God that's never been changed. And what is its message? By the fruits you shall know it, right? The message of the Quran is God is one. Honor your creator. Love all of his messengers. Don't distinguish between them. Love Abraham, love Moses, love Jesus, love Muhammad. Peace be upon them. We follow Muhammad. He was the last one and his message was never changed. And frankly, it just reemphasized the message of the previous prophets. But love them all, honor them all, follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and honor the creator by respecting his creation, by being a source of mercy for his creation. It's the pure, natural, universal faith. I can't tell you how many times I speak to both men and women, and they tell me they feel like they've been Muslim their whole life, because it's so purely natural. It's not complicated. You can almost come to a conclusion of Islam just living alone on a desert island, you know, that all of this, the heavens and the earth, had to have a creator. Doesn't make sense that the creator is more than one. God is one. That's what Islam is. Simple.
How do you think people should, because okay, you hear Andrew Tate talking about push-ups and Quran, how should people approach, maybe someone has gotten a hold of a Quran, it's one of these, the Qurans translated by the Orientalists, right? How should they approach when they come to the Quran? Should they maybe read a little bit before that, some pamphlets?
Sure. So here's the deal. The beautiful thing about Islam is that the Quran has been preserved purely in Arabic, and it's been preserved with knowledge from an unbroken chain of teachers that have studied from student to student back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. So my advice to everyone is don't try to learn Islam by studying someone's translation of it, Because you're just studying a human being's translation and you don't have the whole history and the context behind the text. The best way is study from qualified teachers, study from great resources. There's great websites out there. I mean, whyislam.org is a great resource. The Dean Show, A Brief Illustrated Guide to Islam. There's a lot.
That's the book that I recommend.
Yes.
I actually sent this to Andrew Tate, Andrew to Dylan. This is free online. You can get it. It's The Brief Illustrated Guide. This is the one that that actually did it for me.
Allahu Akbar.
It's a Brief Illustrated book. Guide, because it gets into all of the signs in the Quran, the proofs and evidences. Very powerful.
I just gifted it out to someone, and I always keep copies with me in the car.
Give me a copy right there so people can see what we're talking about.
The other book I would highly, highly recommend is a book that really increased my faith, is Divine Reality. The Divine Reality by Hamza Zorsis. It speaks about the Islamic
reality by our brother Hamza Zorsis. It's behind it.
I would recommend that to everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim alike. So, you know, we can put up a picture. People can see what a brief illustrated guide to Islam looks like, but also get the Divine Reality. Read. I mean, this is the first command from Allah to humanity. And that's the beautiful thing about Islam. Islam is a religion that is not afraid of philosophy, of logic, of science, of knowledge. The first command from the Lord of the heavens and the earth is to read, to reflect, you know.
It's behind the Quran.
Through that, we can, inshallah, all grow, bi-idhnillah. You can get the PDF online for free.
This is the one.
You can order a copy for a couple of dollars. I recommend, listen, brothers, sisters, we got work to do. I want everybody to go ahead, you know, find a credible source, order dozens of these. Keep them in your car, wherever you go, give a copy out, let people benefit from the knowledge, inshallah.
I read this when I first started practicing, and I went through it, and I said, okay, one coincidence, maybe Prophet Muhammad, he guessed this. Then I went to the next one, said he was a very smart man, third, fourth, fifth. I said, there's no way that he could have came up with all of this. It's impossible. Yeah. All right, so before we come to a conclusion here, we wrap things up. Okay, so we got the Quran. This was the Quran that Andrew Tate also gifted to our brother here in humanity. Hopefully soon our brother in the deen, our brother Moneybags, Dylan. So he was asking about where should he start. He posted this originally.
This is a good translation.
And this was, he looked at it as a sign, because we ended up getting in touch with him. And right after, he ended up asking people, he posted a picture of Andrew Tate. He shared that Andrew Tate gave him this one. He said, where should he start to read? And then he talked about when I interviewed him, how he thought that this might possibly be a sign from Allah that now he got invited to the Dean Show.
Allah,
he's talking about the Dean.
Well, it's incredible what you're doing, Eddie, in terms of reaching out and dawah and educating. May Allah make this a platform for guidance for all humanity.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. All right, so alhamdulillah, it was really nice to have you here.
Alhamdulillah. Know, especially on such a crazy day when the first arraignment of a current or former president of the United States.
Yeah, we were going to touch upon that. Yes,
It's
many are seeing this as a political witch hunt.
You know, here's my opinion on the whole thing. And look, I'm someone who's been very critical of Trump.
As Muslims, we got to be fair across
the
board.
We have to be fair and nonpartisan. We're about justice. So again, as somebody, I've been critical of Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, you name them. I've probably sued them. I have sued President Trump over his Muslim ban.
Sued President Trump over that Muslim ban.
I mean, it was clear. He said he wants a total and complete shutdown of Muslims from entering the country. And then he banned a number of Muslim majority countries from being able to send people here.
The last time we gave a shout out to actually his boy, Taro Tuckerson.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
They start having Trump have a change now, too, also.
Well, there's a lot of background to that. Look, I think Trump was susceptible to some bad influences like Steve Bannon and others that tried to hijack him for his agenda. And I think absent that, maybe things could have gone in a much better direction. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, the reason I'm mentioning this is people know I'm certainly no fanboy. In fact, I've sued the guy. But I'm deeply disturbed what I see unfolding. The reason is this. I mean, ultimately, I think there's two questions that are relevant for all of us. Number one is, did Trump break the law? Number two is the prosecution politically driven? And frankly, I think the answer to both of those is yes. And both of those is alarming. See, when it comes to the first, did Trump break the law? The fact is, there's over 50,000 federal laws. A Harvard study has shown that the average American commits three felonies. A felony is a crime punishable by over a year in jail. The average American, they say, commits three felonies a day.
Wow, three a day.
Three a day. Because there's over 50,000. And how do you know you're not committing it if you don't know them? And how the heck are you going to know 50,000 laws? And that's why, as a lawyer, I always say, never speak to the FBI without a lawyer. I stand by it. You know, if they ever contact you, contact CARE, contact my law firm. CARE will do it for free. I'll charge you, but we'll give you good legal representation. But reach out, you know, and never speak to them without a lawyer, because it's easy to get yourself in trouble when you don't know the law. The point is, there's over 50,000 federal laws. The average American breaks about 3 laws a year, a day. Why do I say this? Because if the full force and power of the government wants to come after you, they can pretty much come after anyone. You know, imagine if they did what they're doing with the Tates. They just lock you up until they find something. They're bound to find something on someone, even if it's inadvertent. So the point is, there's too many federal laws out there. America has some of the highest incarceration rates in the world. It's a problem. So, yeah, I think he broke the law. But frankly, I think just about all of those politicians have broken the law. But they're selectively prosecuting him for political reasons. And I think that's disturbing. I also think it's a reflection of of how both the left and the right have used anti-Muslim hate. Before, it was the Muslim community getting the brunt of this extreme prosecution, extreme hate. Now it's being thrown against each other. And the other thing is, all right, you want to prosecute Trump for paying $100,000 in hush money payments and whatever stupid nonsense all of these hypocrites are engaged in Washington, D.C. When are you going to prosecute other presidents that have killed hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians, made illegal wars, destroyed nations? So please spare me with your cries about justice. So frankly, I think as an attorney, again, as somebody who hasn't been a fan of Trump, I think, yeah, he's broken the law, but so has every other American, because America's over-criminalizes its people. And I think that kind of prosecution, therefore, is political. I think there was increased focus on him. And I think there was ignoring others that have done worse things, like crimes against humanity, war crimes, illegal wars. And it's disturbing to see that the people who literally have blood on their hands get off. I mean, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if Trump has invaded any Muslim lands or has caused any new wars while in office. And, you know, a lot of people would argue against me because I was, you know, maybe too critical of Trump. But that was one thing they always had on me. You know, they would always say, well, listen, at least he didn't start any new bloodshed against Muslim nations or any nation for that matter. Wallahu alam. So this is the problem. It's overly criminalized. And I think we're just seeing what's been happening to the Muslim community for a long time. I mean, for a very long time, the Muslim community was being selectively prosecuted. And now that those same tactics are just being used against each other. Mm-hmm. But it sets quite a interesting precedent. I don't think as the president or former president, he should get a free pass to break the law. And maybe there are other things, perhaps related to the election in Georgia, perhaps related to the riots, that maybe are more appropriate to pursue. But the current charges out of New York do seem to be deeply politically driven, and it's a stretch of the law at best. And it appears to be selective prosecution, which, again, I think just opens a door and just shows how in this country they can really be, there's so many federal laws, they can come against anyone. I'm a lawyer, but I'm not a big fan of our justice system. I do think our justice system is better than most other nations. That being said, It's still got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think Trump, he needs Islam also.
Amen.
I don't think he's too really involved here. I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, that he plays this card to go ahead and win a certain side. But only Allah knows what's in his heart as far as, because he comes out, he's a Christian, correct?
Well, I definitely think Trump is just, catering to some bad influences. Uh-huh. You see how he gets along, by the way, in Saudi Arabia and the parties they have for him. I think he's equally ignorant to a lot of different cultures and a lot of different sensitivities. It's just how he is, and he's very transparent and honest about it. On the other hand, you have others on the Democrat side. وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. What their soul hides is worse. So some people may pretend to be our friends, but what is hidden within their whole hearts is a lot of animosity.
But Trump, you know what you're getting. Let's close with this sincerity. I don't think any human being who's sincere and asks the creator of the heavens and the earth for guidance, be it Trump, be it anybody, that God Almighty Allah would not guide them. So I think if someone as intelligent as can be as any politician, Donald Trump or whatnot, he's made amass a lot of money. He's one of the most influential human beings now on the planet. He's running for president again. If he was to look and to read this book objectively with a sincere, open heart, open mind, Can you imagine him accepting Islam?
May Allah guide him. Nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look, I mean, I've compared him to Qarun sometimes, somebody who is wealthy and arrogant and misguided. But the fact is, no one is beyond the mercy of Allah if they sincerely seek it. So we hope guidance for him. We hope guidance really for all humanity.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I like what you said on the last time we met, that Allah's mercy is encompassing. We cannot restrict it now.
Mm. Yeah. That's it. And ultimately, man, that's what matters. Look, and when you die, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. What matters is, do you know your Lord? And that's what our purpose is to call people to that above all else, to know who they are. And they cannot know who they are if they don't know where they came from. And they cannot know where they came from if they don't know where they're going. Mm-hmm. Death is inevitable. Our meeting with our Lord is inevitable. Let us know our Lord before we meet our Lord.
Remember death. For all that money, everything that you're going to accumulate in this life is going to stay behind.
Well, and that's why we see many wealthy, you know, whether they're athletes, celebrities, or you know, men, women who live like party lifestyles in the U.S., drinking, clubs, all of that. But you find them leaving that for Ramadan, for fasting, for wearing hijab, for a conservative Islamic lifestyle, because they see that following and worshiping your desires doesn't bring peace, it brings misery. But knowing your Lord is what brings peace in this life and in the next. And that's why Islam continues to be the fastest growing religion. It's to liberate humanity from being enslaved. And that's what modern capitalist society sort of does to humanity. It makes you slave to your desires, slave to your opinion of others. Islam liberates you, that you should only be a slave to your Lord, and your Lord only wants good for you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, my brother. And we'll send people here to the website. You can get a free copy of the Quran, of this Quran, actually at thedeanshow.com. Go ahead and visit us there, and we'll send this out to you as a gift. And if you have any other questions, you can call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. And we'll be there to help you along your way, answer the questions that you might have. And we'll see you next time here on The Dean Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله Bringing Sheikh Sami aside, giving a tour of the D Center.
So we transforming this from people worshiping the creation to worshiping the Creator.
May Allah bless your efforts, Eddie. How you doing, brother?
All right, so as you can see, we're getting to work and we need your support. So go ahead and help us to get this where it's top notch, inshallah.